Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Beautiful song. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And this show is for Friday, January the 6th, 2017. I have to get used to saying that. Boy, it seems like 2016 just flew by. We're going to be in the second book of Kings here, chapter 3. We'll see how far we get today. I have so much commentary about what goes on in these books that I really can't plan to do just two chapters. I know we'll do 3 and 4. Whether we get into 5, I don't know. We'll see when I get there. That's all I can say. Let me get a little hit of iced tea and dive right in. Oh, that's lovely. This is about Elisha aiding Yehoram against Moab when they rebelled. Verse 1, Yehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Shomeron, that's Samaria, in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, and reigned 12 years. Verse 2, he did evil in the sight of Yahweh, but not like his father and mother. For he removed, 5493, the pillar, 4676, of Baal that his father had made. Verse 3, nevertheless he cleaved to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He did not turn aside from them. There's Jeroboam again as the standard for evil. Verse 4. Mesha, M-E-Y-S-H-A, 4338, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, 5349, and rendered, 7725, to the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. Now, this is in payment of tribute. Okay. And see 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 2. Verse 5, but it came to pass when Ahab was dead, the king of Moab rebelled, 6586, against the king of Israel. Verse 6, King Jehoram sent forth from Shomeron at the same time and mustered, 6485, all of Israel. Verse 7, he went forth and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go up with me against Moab to battle? And he replied, I will go up. I am as you. My people are your people, my horses as your horses. All right, right here, Jehoshaphat was at peace with the king of Israel. Okay, they weren't babbling. And you can reference 1 Kings 22, verse 44. Verse 8, he said, which way shall we go up? And he replied, the way of the wilderness of Edom. Now, Edom was a vassal, ruled by a vassal of Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat ruled Edom at this point, and he had a governor there. Verse 9, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Yehuda, and the ruler of Edom. Wasn't the king of Edom, he was ruling under Jehoshaphat. They went around 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the army and for the cattle that followed them. Verse 10, the king of Israel said, alas, that Yahweh has called these three kings together to give them into the hand of Moab. Verse 11, but said Jehoshaphat, is there not here a prophet of Yahweh that we may inquire of Yahweh by him? And Jehoshaphat believed in Yahweh. He wasn't as evil as a lot of the other people. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Eliyahu. That's Elijah, okay? Verse 12, said Jehoshaphat, the word of Yahweh is with him, because he had heard of him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the ruler of Edom went down to him. Verse 13, said Elisha to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother. Now these were the prophets of Baal. And the king of Israel said to him, nay, for Yahweh has called these three rulers together to give them into the hand of Moab. Verse 14, said Elisha, as Yahweh of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, I would not look toward you or see you. Because Israel was in apostasy at that point, and Yehuda was not. So he would recognize Jehoshaphat, but not the others. Verse 15. But now bring me a player of instruments, 5059. And it came to pass when the player played that the hand of Yahweh came upon him. Verse 16, said he, thus says Yahweh, make this wadi full of ditches. That's 1356 doubled for emphatic. And a wadi is a riverbed, whether it's dry or full. It's a floodplain river area. Verse 17, for thus says Yahweh, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the wadi shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both you and your livestock, 4735, and your beasts, 929. Verse 18, this is a light thing in the sight of Yahweh, and light thing is 704 thing. He will give Moab into your hand. In other words, filling a dry river valley with water is nothing for Yahweh. Verse 19, you shall smite every fortified city, that's 4013, fortified city, and every choice city, 4004, and fell, 5307, every good tree, all the good lumber they were to cut down, and stop up 5640 all springs 4599 of water, and mar 3510 every good piece of land, 2513 piece of land, with stones. In other words, there's those stones in all the field that they had cleared out already. They were to throw stones in them and ruin them. Verse 20. It came to pass in the morning when the grain offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. That's just as Yahweh said. He doesn't lie. And fill it with water. He created the whole universe. What problem is that for him? Verse 21. And when all Moab heard that the rulers were come up to fight against them, they called for all that were able to put on a belt of a warrior. That's one word. 2290 and older, and took a stand on the border. Let me wet my pipes down here a little bit. Oh, I like my iced tea. Verse 22, and they rose up early in the morning as the sun rose over the water, and Moab saw the water on the other side as red, 122, as blood. Verse 23, and they said, this is blood. The rulers are surely slain and have smitten one another. Now, Moab, to the spoil. Oops. didn't happen quite that way. They were still very much alive. They just saw the reflection of the water off the water in the ditches that they had made under Yahweh's orders. Verse 24, when it came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and smote Moab, so that they fled before them, but they continued smiting Moab. Verse 25, they tore down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man a stone and filled it. And they stopped up all the springs of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir Karaseth, 7025, they left the stones of it, but the slingers, 7051, went around it and smote it. Verse 26, when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too strong, 2388, for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through, 1234, to the ruler of Edom, but they could not. Now this will tell you why Yahweh was going to smite Moab this way. This is going to be pretty bad here. Verse 27. He took his firstborn son, 1060, that should have reigned in his place, and offered him for a burnt offering on the wall. And there was great wrath, 7110, against Israel, and they departed from upon him, and returned to their land. He sacrificed his own son because they did the Baal worship, child sacrifice. So that's why they destroyed all but one city, and he stopped Israel from coming at him by sacrificing his own son. And they figured, well, there's no ruler to take his place. He's defeated. Let's go home. So they did. Now we're getting into chapter 4 here, and Elisha is going to help a prophet's widow. Verse 1, there cried, 68:17, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha, saying, because he was the head prophet, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know your servant revered Yahweh, and the lender, 5383, is come to take to him my two sons to be slaves, 5650. Now, who do you suppose the lender might be, because you're not allowed to do that in Israel? Who do you think might be the lender that's going to make slaves of a widow's sons? They were there back then, folks, and they're here now. Verse 2, said Elisha to her, what may I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house? Said she, your maidservant has not anything in the house except a jar, that's 6:10, of oil. Verse 3, said he, go, ask you for vessels from all over, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not borrow, just a few. Verse 4, when you come in, shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and pour out into all those vessels, and remove, 5265, those that are full, 4392. Verse 5, so went she from with him, and shut the door behind her and behind her son, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Verse 6, it came to be, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring to me another vessel. And said he to her, no more vessels. And the oil stopped flowing. Verse 7, came she and told the man of Elohim, and said he, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and live you and your children of that remaining. Another blessing of Yahweh for a widow of one of his servants. All those miracles. And people still doubt. I don't understand, but they doubt. And this is Elisha and the Shunammite here. Verse 8 of chapter 4. It was on a day that Elisha passed over to Shunem. That's why they call her Shunammite. That's a woman up from the city of Shunem, where was a great woman, 14:19. And she encouraged him to eat a meal. And it was, as often as he passed through, he turned in there to eat a meal. Now, when they say a great woman, that translates best as prominent, okay? She was prominent in the community. Verse 9, said she to her husband, behold now, I know that this is a set apart, 6918, man of Elohim who passes by us continually, 8548. Verse 10, let us make a little upper chamber upon the wall and put for him there a bed and a table and a seat and a menorah, 4501, that's as a candlestand. And it shall be, when he comes to us, he shall turn in there. In other words, they were going to put a room on their house, like a little addition, just for the prophet. because they really thought a lot of him. He was greatly revered. Verse 11, it was on a day that he came there and turned into the upper chamber and lay down there. Verse 12, said he to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite, 7767. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Verse 13. Said he to him, say now to her, behold, you have been anxiously careful. That's all one word. 2729. That's karadet. Toward us with all of this anxious care. Anxious care is one word. 2731. Karada. What is to be done for you? Can I speak for you to the king or to the commander of the army? And answered she, I dwell among my own people. Verse 14. Said he, what then is to be done for her? And said Gehazi, truly she has no son, and her husband is old. Verse 15, said he, call her. And when he had called her, stood she in the doorway. Verse 16, said he, about this appointed time, according to the time of life, you shall embrace 2263 a son. Said she, nay, my master, man of Elohim, lie not unto your maidservant. All right, you can reference verse 16 in Genesis 18, verse 4. And time of life here would be a gestation period. Okay? Verse 17. Conceived the woman and bore a son at the appointed time that had said Elisha to her according to the time of life or gestation period. Now here comes another miracle. Verse 18. When the child grew, it came to be on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. Verse 19, said he to his father, my head, my head. And said he to a youth, that's his father, take him to his mother. Verse 20, took he him and brought him to his mother, and sat he upon her knees until noon and died. Verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of Elohim and shut the door upon him and went forth. Verse 22, called she to her husband and said, send me, please, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of Elohim and return. Verse 23, said he, why do you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Shabbat. And she said, peace, that's shalom, as be at peace. In other words, don't worry about it. Verse 24, saddled she an ass and said to her servant, drive 5090 and go. Stop, 6113, not my writing, except I tell you. In other words, he was to run behind her ass and switch it and drive the ass for writing in haste. verse 25, went she and came to the man of Elohim unto Mount Carmel. And it came to be, when the man of Elohim saw her from afar, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, that Shunammite. In other words, look, that's the Shunammite woman. Verse 26, run now, please, to meet her and say to her, is it peace with you? Is it peace with your husband? Is it peace with the child? And answered she, peace. And that means, is all well. Verse 27, and when she came to the man of Elohim to the hill, she caught him by the feet. In other words, she fell down before him and grabbed his feet in supplication, but approached Gehazi to thrust her away. But said the man of Elohim, refrain, 7503, for her being is bitter, 4843, within her. And Yahweh has hid it from me and has not told me. Verse 28, then said she, did I ask a son from my master? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Verse 29, then said he to Gehazi, gird your loins, in other words, tighten your belt, and take my staff in your hand and go. If you come upon, 4672, a man, bless him not, and if a man blesses you, answer him not. In other words, don't do anything else and get into a conversation with anybody. And lay my staff upon the face of the boy. Verse 30, and said the mother of the boy, as Yahweh lives and your being lives, I will not leave you. And rose he up and walked after her. So she was going to follow, he was going to follow after her. Verse 31, Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the boy, but there was neither voice nor response. Wherefore returned he to meet him and told him, saying, the boy has not awakened. 6974. Verse 32, and when Elisha had come into the house, behold, the boy was dead, laying upon his bed. Verse 33, entered he and shut the door upon them both, and prayed to Yahweh. Verse 34, and went he up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And bent, 1457, he over the child, and the flesh of the child grew warm. That's 2552. And verses 34 and 35, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 21. Verse 35, then returned he and walked to and fro in the house, and went up and bent over him, and sneezed, 2237, the boy seven times, and opened the boy his eyes. Yahweh brought him back to life. Verse 36, and called he Gehazi, and said, call to the Shunammite. So called he, and when came she to him, said he, take up your son. Verse 37. Then went she in and fell at his feet and prostrated herself to the ground and took up her son and went forth. Another miracle of Yahweh. Yet we still have doubters. And here we go. We're going to have poisoned food made edible. Verse 38, returned Elisha to Gilgal, And a famine, 7:4 or 5:8, was in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. In other words, he was the head prophet, and all these other prophets were under him. And said he to his servant, set on, 8:2, 3:9, the great pot, and cook, 13:10, pottage, cook actually means to boil, 13:10, pottage, 5:1, 3:8, that's a legume soup. Cook pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went forth into the field to gather herbs, 2:1:9, to help the soup, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it wild cucumbers, 6:4, 9:8, in his garment, 8:9:9, full, 4:3, 9:3, and came and cut them up, 6:3, 9:8, into the pot of pottage, because they knew not what they were. All right, 6:4, 9:8, wild cucumbers. In Hebrew, it is pakuoth, and it is citrullus colocynthus. That's the designated Latin name for that species of wild cucumbers, and it has purgative properties. In other words, it makes you vomit, like syrup of ipecac that you give someone if they're poisoned to make them throw up. Well, that's what these things would do to you. They don't teach that in the churches, do they? Verse 40, so they poured out 3:3, 3:2 for the men to eat. And it came to be, as they ate from the pottage, that they cried out, 6:8, 1:7, and said, O man of Elohim, death is in the pot, 4:1, 9:4, and they could not eat. They got deathly sick and were throwing up all over the place. Okay, verse 41, but said he, then bring flour, 7:0, 5:8, and cast, chemok, and it would neutralize the properties of the wild cucumbers somehow. I don't know what type of flour he used. And cast he it into the pot, and said he, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no thing, 1697, of harm, 7:4, 5:1, in the pot. Now we've seen Yahweh fix bad water by casting a certain type of tree in the water, and it neutralized the bitter water. Well, here you go. Who invented chemistry? Yahweh. So he would tell the prophet what to throw in that will change the chemical properties. No big deal for the creator of the universe. Verse 42, and came there a man from Baal Shalisha, 1190, and brought the man of Elohim bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, 8:1, 8:4, and fresh grain in the sack, and said he, give to the people that they may eat. Verse 43, and his servant said, that's Gehazi, what? Should I set this before 100 men? And said he again, give to the people that they may eat, for thus says Yahweh, they shall eat and shall leave of it. What kind of miracle did Yeshua Messiah do? With the fishes and the loaves? Again. What is beyond Yahweh? Verse 44. So set he it before them, and they ate and left of it, according to the word of Yahweh. There was food left over when Yeshua Messiah sent the fishes and bread out. And that is a reflection of what Yeshua Messiah will do in his time. Gehazi, Elisha's servant, has some trouble being obedient to his master. He tends to do an act on his own, thinking he's doing right, but it's contrary to what Yahweh is working through Elisha. And it's going to be a disastrous result for him in the next chapter. Elisha is very, very holy. And Yahweh is going to bless him extremely. So we finished chapter 4. Let me look and see what we got in chapter 5. How big is it? It's 27 verses. We can do chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, 5283, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man before his master, and high in favor, because by him Yahweh had given deliverance, 8668, to Aram. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper, 6879. And verses 1 through 14, you can reference Luke 4, verse 27. And 6879 here is Metzorah from Zaraoth. And here, this is actual leprosy, not just a skin disease. Verse 2, and Aram had gone out by marauding bands, 14:16, and had brought away captive, 7:6:17, from the land of Israel, a young girl, and she was before Naaman's wife. He was a maidservant, okay? Verse 3, and said she to her mistress, would that, 305, not would God, would that my master was before the prophet that is in Shomeron. He would take away, 622, his leprosy, 6883, that's Mitzareto. Verse 4. Naaman went and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl that is from the land of Israel. Verse 5, and said the king of Aram, go, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And went he and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of clothing. Verse 6, and brought he the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter has come to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may take away from him his leprosy. Verse 7, and it came to be, when had read the king of Israel the letter, that rent he his clothes, and said, Elohim am I, to kill and make alive, that this man sends to me to take away from a man his leprosy? Wherefore know and see now, because he seeks an occasion, 579, against me. He thought he was trying to set him up for something. Verse 8, and it was when Elisha, the man of Elohim, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that sent he to the king, saying, for what reason have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9, so came Naaman with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Verse 10. And sent Elisha a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Very simple, okay? Simple command. Not a big deal. Just go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Verse 11, but angry, 7107, was Naaman, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come forth to me and stand and call upon the name of Yahweh Elohev, that's his God, and wave, 5130, his hand over the place and take away the leprosy. He wanted a big rigmarole. He thought he was going to do all this hocus pocus because he was used to the fakes that were in Aram. And when Elisha didn't do a great big deal, just said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times and your leprosy will go away. Verse 12, are not Abana 71 and Pharpar 6554, rivers of Damascus, that's Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So turned he and went away in a rage. 2534. Verse 13, his servants approached and spoke to him and said, my father, and this is as an honorarium, not a literal parent, my father, if the prophet had spoken to you some great thing, would you not have done it? In other words, if he'd done all this rigmarole and required a bunch of stuff, he would have done it. He wasn't impressed by the simple answer. How much more, 637, then, because said he to you, wash and be clean. In other words, because he didn't make you feel important by having you do all these exotic things, you're not impressed and your little feelings are hurt because he didn't make you feel important. It was an ego thing. Verse 14, then went he forth and dipped, 2881, himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of Elohim, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little, 6996, boy, 5288, and he was clean. He had all new flesh grow back. Just a miracle. Just dipped himself, immersed himself all the way down in the Jordan River 7 times. And this really affected the guy, okay? Verse 15, and returned he to the man of Elohim, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and said he, behold, now I know that there is no Elohim in the whole land but in Israel. In other words, Yahweh is the divine being. That's what he's saying. Now therefore, please take a blessing from that of your servant. Verse 16. But said he, this is Elisha, as Yahweh lives before whom I stand, I will take none. And he, that's Naaman, pushed him, 6484, that's strongly urged, pushed him to take, but he refused, 3985. Verse 17, and said Naaman, shall there not then, please, be given to your servant 2 mules burden of soil, 127? because your servant will henceforth perform no burnt offering nor sacrifice to any other Elohim, but only to Yahweh. He was going to take some of the soil of Israel with him and do sacrifices upon that because he considered it holy ground. Wow. Verse 18. In this thing, pardon, 5545, Yahweh your servant. When my master, in other words, the king of Aram, goes into the house of Rimmon, 7414, to bow down there, and this 7417 is Asiatic, that is Romanu, that's the god of wind, rain, and storms. That's a pagan god. And he leans, 8172, on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down in the house of Rimmon, Yahweh, please pardon your servant in this thing. In other words, he was being forced to bow by the king of Aram in this house of a pagan god. And he's asking in advance pardon because he knows that only Yahweh is the divine being, and this other stuff is all false. Verse 19, and said he to him, that's Elisha talking to Naaman, go in peace. So went he from by him a little way on the land. He's starting out on a journey. Verse 20, now here's the hard-headedness of this servant. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of Elohim, said in his heart, in other words, he said to himself, behold, my master has spared, 28:20, Naaman, this Aramee, 7:6:1, in not receiving from his hands that which he brought. But, as Yahweh lives, I will run after him and take anything from him. So he thinks he knows better than Elisha. Verse 21. So Gehazi pursued after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he dismounted, 5307, from upon the chariot to meet him and said, is all peaceful? Verse 22, and said he, all is peaceful. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there comes from the hill country of Ephraim two young men from the sons of the prophets. Give them, please, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And said Naaman, I will. Take two talents. And he broke him down, 6555. In other words, that's urged him strongly, and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they carried them before him. So he lied about these other sons of the prophets. He told him a false story. And he sent Naaman sent two of his servants to carry this burden. Verse 24, when he came to the hill, 6076, he took them from their hand and deposited them, 6485, in the house, and sent he away the men, and they left. So he just lied and basically disobeyed his master, Elisha, to get gain, even though he did it for Elisha, thought he knew better than him. But Elisha was spoken to by Yahweh. And he didn't know better than him. He's just a servant. Verse 25, but went he in and stood before his master and said, Elisha, to him, from where do you come, Gehazi? And said he, your servant went nowhere. Lied again. Verse 26, and said he to him, went not my heart with you? When the man turned back from upon his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to take money and to take garments and olivyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male slaves and female slaves? In other words, are we in this for profit or are we in this to serve Yahweh? In other words, why are you greedy for gain? He knew what Gehazi did because Yahweh told him. Verse 27, here's the punishment. The leprosy of Naaman shall cleave, 1692, to you and to your descendants forever. And went he forth from his presence a leper, white as snow, 7950. This is the end of chapter 5. You have to remember that Arami, an Aramean, was healed by Yahweh from his leprosy. This goes back. Terah, the father of Abraham, was of Aram. They were Arami to start with. Abraham, the patriarch, was an Arami. He was an Aramean. So at that time, pure bloods of Aram were close kin to the men of Israel. He was an Adamic blood kinsman. Well, Naaman was used to this fake god Rimmon over in Aram, who was just nothing but fake. He wasn't anything, and he never did anything because he was just a fake god. And he couldn't fathom the simple command to dip himself 7 times. It's just too simple. He wanted something grander with lots of hocus pocus and a big long invocation and all of, crying out to Yahweh and yah, blah, 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 blah. And his servants had better common sense and said, look, if this is what this man of Elohim tells you to do, do it. You don't need all that other stuff. You're dealing with a different God here. You're dealing with Yahweh. And he dipped himself 7 times, and not only was he cured, but became a firm believer and converted to the worship of Yahweh because he was an Adamite and kinsman to Israel. And then you move on in this chapter. Gehazi, the servant, in his willfulness, even after being close to all the miracles that had happened, disobeyed Elisha. And this was harsh justice that he became a leper in the stead of Naaman. He had that leprosy put on him. And Yahweh was angry. He disobeyed an open prophet of Yahweh that was doing all those fabulous miracles and stuff with Yahweh's power. Yahweh was speaking to him. And Gehazi was another knothead. What can I say? It just it doesn't make sense to me. I wouldn't do it, but then I have the blessing of all these examples given to me in this holy book, and hindsight is better than foresight. So I have the benefit of the hindsight of what went on back then, and this book shapes my life. I pay attention to all of these wonderful things that went on, and it affects me in my life. And that's the reason I read these words on the show, because I hope that these words will affect your life as well. All the examples that I give, and all these little things about the cucumbers and stuff, I researched all of that, and I know that people don't have all the time to do these massive studies like I have done. They're busy trying to survive and live their lives, and they just don't have that kind of time. I can't put that on people, that they should do all the study that I have done. It's not physically possible for most people today. So Yahweh has blessed me with this knowledge that I can pass it on to all of you. And I am so thrilled that he has blessed me in this manner that I can serve him and help my brothers and sisters out there, because I deeply care for you and I want you to join us in the remnant. So I read these words and it's something that Yahweh has called me to do. I don't have a mega church. I'm not some kind of big time mega preacher ripping people off. That's not what I'm about. Just isn't happening. I live simply. I have exactly what I need, what Yahweh wants me to have. He provides for me. He blesses me. He watches over me. What more can I ask at the stage of the game in my life when I'm an old man now? And Yahweh does all these things for me, and he's put me in here with EFR and blessed me with the association of fellow Israelites, and I'm going to the feast days. People come and pick me up and get me transportation, and I'm fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters. Oh, really? What kind of wealth would buy that? What kind? Nothing. There is only one divine being, and that is Yahweh, and only one kinsman redeemer for Israel, and that is Yahshua. And I know this deep in my heart. And call upon the name of Yahweh and be saved. Praise Yahweh and Shalom Aleichem to all of you. And I will catch you on Monday, starting in chapter 6 of the second book of Kings. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus, go.